Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, show forth your presence. Make known that you are the everlasting God. There is no other than you whom we are to worship and live lives of obedience and reverence. Though you sit enthroned on high, you came down to heal and save. Such compassion, come now to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was sharing with the wonderful children, the many, many summers I lived in summer camps, they are very special. Several summers at Luther Memorial Camp in various capacities. One summer at Camp Frederick. And though the camp was small, I had some very special times there, like whitewater rafting several times is one of them. Those years happened at Luther Memorial Camp and Camp Frederick because I had two wonderful, fantastic summers of Boy Scout camp, teaching high adventure merit badges. This was way back when the Central Ohio Council existed with two different camps. And each summer would begin at Camp Lazarus, and that was when 23 north out of Columbus was mostly farmland. Everything at that Polaris interchange did not exist. There really wasn't even a Polaris interchange. And 270 was two lanes going both directions. And I believe it was about that time those water towers there in Worthington were going up along 270. I mean, it was just a fantastic time. We'd be at Camp Lazarus for 7 weeks. I'll sleep in a wall tent and a platform, and it was a wonderful experience. Yes, you can sleep in a tent all summer. I encourage nails in the platform so you don't get any critters crawling in underneath. But I made sure that bottom of the wall of that tent was tight against the platform. But it was so precious. A nail and hammer, they were put to good use. But you could sleep, and it was just wondrous. At the end of 7 weeks, we would pack the camp up. Each campsite would have all the wall tents dropped, folded up in such a way, then you put the tent poles on it, and you grab a long length of baler's twine, and you just start wrapping the tents up. You wrap them up, wrap them up, and it looked like we were the Grinch who stole Christmas. Those tents wrapped up looked like the Christmas trees he would toss on his sleigh he was taking away. So we'd just toss them onto a truck that would take them to the bigger truck to take everything down to Camp Longhorn. Now, Camp Longhorn was rougher than Camp Lazarus, south of Logan, Ohio, about 3 or so hours from Camp Lazarus. We'd arrive, distribute the tents at the campsites, pull out another huge bale of baler's twine, and put those tents up. Because campers arriving the next day. I mean, it was quite a production to do, but it was so much fun. My buck knife came in really handy during those times. And I had another wall tent to sleep in. And again, out came the hammer and nails to secure that bottom of the tent. I didn't want any nighttime visitors. It was some of the best time of my life. Over 50 weeks of summer camp. Precious memories. Now, these summers had one thing in common. I really did lose track of time. I didn't know what was happening in the outside world. I did not know the latest news. I didn't hear the latest news. There was no TV, no newspapers, and this is years before smartphones and that constant connection. So each summer of 10 weeks, I lived in a way removed from and different from the outside world. It was with very special people. That's where I first met Dave. I had very special people at summer camps, and it's just precious. Some of the best time of life. But I didn't know what was going on in the outside world. So when camp came to the end of summer and you went out to the outside world, like, that happened? Oh, really? It's like you felt like you didn't know anything. I was oblivious to the news of the world, and it really felt strange heading back into the real world. I didn't know. I had not heard what was happening. Isaiah 40, verse 21 and verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? In these two verses are two very important Hebrew words that really are central to the Hebrew faith. Know and heard. Yada, which is know. Yada. And heard or hear. Shema. Shema. Yada is to know. And it's to know in much, much, much more than knowledge knowing. And this word, the root of this word, appears over about 950 times in the Hebrew Bible. And from Baker's Dictionary of Theology, this is sort of how to describe what it means to know, yada. It has a wider sweep than our English word knowledge, including perceiving, learning, understanding, willing, performing, and experiencing. To know is not to be intellectually informed about an abstract principle, but to apprehend and experience it in reality. Knowledge is not the possession of information, but it's the exercise of information and the actualization of that information in your life. To know. Shema. To listen. It's much, much more than simply hearing sounds that go in one ear and out the other. This root word is found over 1,100 times in the Hebrew Bible. To listen in the Hebrew way, to listen is to take the words in such a manner that you give heed to the words and you put them into action. Shema means to hear in such a way that obedience is the result. As you've probably said to someone that it wasn't quite listening, are you listening to me? And what you meant is, you're not doing what I instructed you to do. Are you listening? You meant to see the action in the person's life, which showed that they truly were listening. They heard it and took it in. Shema. Isaiah is calling us to know and to hear. That is to have a living relationship shown through obedience with the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of all of the ends of the earth. To help understand why these two questions were asked in verse 21, we back up in Isaiah chapter 40 to the previous couple of verses. And TNT sang a song similar to these verses several years ago. See if you can figure out what that song was. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18, 19, and 20. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. TNTers, do you remember the song, Just One God? Some people chop up cedar wood, then do strange things I've never understood. With half of the wood, they cook their food, and half they make a god. How can you worship cedar wood? How could it ever possibly be good? If the tree could think, it would have found a way you couldn't chop it down. There is just one God. I mean, great song from several years ago. Now, in verse 28, the two questions appear again, but for a different reason, and this reason is the reason why Isaiah chapter 40 was composed. Israel was complaining they were forsaken by God. Isaiah is reproving Israel for complaining and at the same time assuring them that God is faithful to his promises. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? First of all, remember Jacob and Israel are the same person, because Jacob was given that name Israel. So why do you say, and why do you complain, I'm hidden from God? Verse 28 in response asks, do you not know, have you not heard? And the purpose is to draw Israel back into their own history. Learn your history. Learn from what your fathers had experienced, especially in the wilderness. God's true character of care and compassion for Israel. Unlike those pagan idols made of gold, silver, and wood, God is the everlasting God. God is. God does not change. And the promises and purposes of God will be fulfilled. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who put their trust in the Lord, all those wonderful promises of the Lord will come. You will gain strength. You will mount up with wings like an eagle. A big, powerful bird that you see it in the sky, and it can soar and soar and soar with those huge wings and never tire. Have you seen an eagle soaring like that? Wow. Your wings like an eagle. You will never tire. God is so great that all the stars are governed by God with such skill to remind us we are safe in the Lord's hand. It will be okay. All will be fine. History has shown God is faithful. God will deliver by a mighty hand. So Isaiah is saying to the people Israel, recall your own history and you will understand the compassion and care of God for you. And the same is true for you. Understand how God interacted with Israel. And that same God is interacting with you, child of God. When tying knots, how good are you guys at tying your knots? When tying knots, there are different knots for different purposes. Okay, if you have two ropes that are different sizes, what knot do you use? I heard it a little louder. Sheep, that's right. They won't slip when you tie two ropes of different sizes of different materials together. So you use a specific knot for a specific application. Now, you have to tie a knot at the end of a line, and you don't want that knot to slip. You don't want that loop to close in on itself, and you want it to carry a lot of weight. What knot do you tie? Danny. That was a close try. You're close. Starts with the letter B. Yes, a bowline. There you go. And it's through the practice and lots more practice you come to know what knot, when to use, and how to tie it appropriately. So, I mean, you have to know different knots because of different applications and different size rope. And when you tie webbing together, there's only one kind of knot that will keep webbing from not slipping, and that's a knot you tie on itself. I'll show you sometime if you don't know it. But you have to be able to tie things in such a way that you know it. So when one is able to consistently tie the correct knot for the specific application, the specific task, then it can be said you understand the knots. So you hear about them and you know about them, but do you understand? In other words, it's not until you put it into actual practice consistently over and over in the proper way you understand. You can read about different kinds of knots and try to learn to tie a knot from reading directions in a book. It's very difficult. But it's much easier to learn to tie that knot if someone actually sits down beside you and shows you in person, this is how the rabbit comes out the hole and around the tree and back in. It shows you specifically how to tie the knot. The person guiding you. Israel had the written word of God. Still, they did not understand the Lord their God. So God came in person. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in person. Mark chapter 1 is on the move. As soon as the events in the synagogue concluded, Mark uses that favorite word of his, euthus, which means immediately. Immediately after freeing the man held in bondage by an evil spirit in the synagogue, immediately they go to the home of Simon and Andrew. But there's more than that, and you don't see it in the English translation, but it's there in the Greek. Immediately as they get to that home of Simon and Andrew, immediately they tell Jesus of Simon's mother-in-law having a fever. The English says they tell Jesus, but the Greek is there, the euthus. Immediately they tell Jesus of Simon's mother-in-law. Now Mark records no dialogue here. He just has the action. Jesus goes in, takes her hand, and helps her up. Mark chapter 1, verse 31. So he, that is Jesus, went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That phrase, the fever left her, does not really carry the meaning of the Greek. It is a much richer meaning there. The fever was sent from her. Sent. The Greek word formed from two words. Apo, a prefix, which means to separate, putting distance between, and haimi, which put in motion, to send away. The fever was separated from her and sent away. Pulled and pushed away. I mean, what's powerful about this, and what's interesting about this, it's the exact same word that means forgive. We see that in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus says to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It's the exact same Greek verb, to separate and send away. Exact same word. The verb tense is different, but it's the exact same word. Isn't that powerful? Forgiveness. It's pulled apart, taken away from you, and sent. The fever left her. "Son, your sins are forgiven." Exact same Greek verb. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. That evening after sunset, it shows us the Sabbath day was over. We use 12 midnight being the designation between one day and the next day. The day ends at 12 midnight, the next day begins at 12:01 or thereabouts, whatever half second you want to consider. Back in that culture, a day begins when the preceding day closes. A day closes at sunset. This is why the people came at sunset to Simon and Andrew's house. Because the Sabbath was over, they could get up and go places. And as soon as that Sabbath was over, they got up and went to Jesus. Very powerful here. Jesus healed various diseases and cast out many demons. The authority demonstrated in the synagogue on the Sabbath that man was demon possession was cast out, sent away. The word spread, and that authority was there. It seemed like all of Capernaum had come to the house there. No one was turned away. No one is turned away. They were healed and set free. Remember, Jesus was preaching, "The kingdom of God has come near, and the evidence of the kingdom of God is near, people set free." The compassion of God for us is so enormous. The compassion of God is near you, for the kingdom of God has come near. No one is turned away from the compassion of God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Healing of your deepest hurt is available in Him. Freeing from your brokenness and all that is called sin, it's only possible in Jesus. Just as there is no other God but the Lord, the everlasting God, there is no other way to God, no other way to be healed, no other way to be set free from fever or set free from sin, except through the redeeming cross of Jesus Christ. Understand, Jesus is the only way. How God became human is a mystery. Why God became human is not a mystery. The why is God's compassion and love for you is so great. His compassion and love for you is so great. He came to you in person to tell you and to show you by dying on the cross for all our sin, to redeem you. And the authority to forgive sin is seen in that the paralytic got up and walked, but more than that, the tomb is empty. He rose. He rose. You are forgiven. Compassion and love is for you from the living God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord Jesus Christ loves you, died for you, and invites you to be His. There's power in the blood. There's victory in Jesus. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Amen and amen.